Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Whoa.
Closest thing we're getting to going on now, isn't it?
With the boys!
We're live. So we're live, apparently. I didn't even know we were getting a cool intro.
We have music, baby.
We have music. We got a cool graphic. This is what happens during pandemic times. Casey and Esther put together fun music and intros for us on the A-Side Live Chat. My name is, of course, Jose Youngs. This is the Wednesday edition of the A-Side Live Chat. Joining us is, of course, Pizzi, across the pond, everyone's favorite mustachio director, Casey Lydon. And joining us this week, Molly McCann, also across the pond. Molly, how are you doing?
I'm Frank.
And Frank right there.
Yes, for that? Yes, lads.
Amazing. He's so beautiful, Molly.
I don't know. I got lucky with this one, didn't I? Oh. Because I am sunburned, aren't I? Whoa.
It's a tan. I'd consider that a tan. For me, that is 100% a tan. That's as tanned as I get, to be honest.
Can I say this? I went to Africa volunteering a few years ago, and the kids used to call me Abba, and it means the red one. They used to run over to me and touch me, and I changed colour.
That's amazing.
But before we get into the questions, Molly, I'm sure all of our fans, the one question we ask all the fighters is, how have you been dealing with quarantine and pandemic times? I know you're supposed to fight on that UFC London card. That fell through. But since then, how have you been dealing with everything going on in the world?
Well, I just tried to take it in my stride, to be honest, me. We're all in the same boat, so there's no point being moaning about it and being negative about it, because you're just going to make the experience worse. So I've just tried to just, I don't know, live my best life. And I really have. Like, I've got no pressure on me of a fight. I can literally wake up, run for an hour, come and train in my little back garden gym, and then play with the dog in the street all day and eat good food.
Well, you're spending quarantine times better than us. I know, Pizza, you have a dog. Casey, he has a dog. I don't have a dog, so I am the odd man out this time, so I'm just a lonely man during this quarantine
Casey,
time.
That's a good Tash, though.
Thank you. Know, isn't it? Do you know, Casey, that Tashes were very fashionable in Liverpool for a long time? Am I right, Molly? Like, how does this compare?
So in the 80s, Casey, everyone would have a porn stash like that, and they'd have a perm as well. and then the stereotype is, when Scousers get aggressive, we go, calm down, calm down. So everyone used to take the piss out of us on Halloween and put like a big moustache in the perm and then go, calm down, calm down.
I didn't mean to drag up any badness there.
Oh yeah, whatever. Not bitter, am I?
Look, I'm wearing this Beatles t-shirt in honour of your debut, Molly. I have the Abbey Road here in the front. Look at that.
Thanks.
It's very special.
Irish skin and I'm being Irish.
I think you're underselling your quarantine. You've been the queen of quarantine. You've been knocking it out of the park, to be fair.
I mean, I just still feel like I'm in fight camp. I rang Graham Boylan. I said, look, I'm 62 kilo, which is like 137. And I fight at 125, 126. So I was like, look, I need 4 days to make weight, get me like on that first island or whichever island it may be, the green one or one in like the Bahamas. I don't care.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure we're going to get a million questions from our fans about Fight Island, because that seems to be the trends these last few weeks. But of course, Casey, the man, the director, the mustachioed hipster soy boy. Do we have any questions? Well, do we have any questions lined up right out of the gate?
Yeah, one second. Let me get some. Where should we go? Let's start with this one.
From Sean Denny Rance, longtime commenter from across the pond too. Hashtag the A-side. For Molly, how are you replicating the banter and slagging from a normal fight camp in your home workouts? That was a very UK-sounding tweet. I don't know what half those words even mean. So, Molly.
How are you replicating the banter and slagging from a normal fight camp in your home workouts? Listen, it's on my own, so there's no slag and there's no banter, but when I'm hitting the bag or when I'm running, I do talk to myself a bit. Like, come on, meatball. Come on, meatball. Yeah. I mean, there's not much. What's the word? Morale's high, but you know, when you work with people, you can train harder because it's down to like not wanting to lose. But I just feel like now training's more expressive, where I'm having to think more, and I'm going back to when I don't know, I fight a lot more like my kind of philosophy. So I watch the UFC every night on BT, write some stuff down about what the fight is doing, and then go and do it on the bag and see if that works for me or not. So today I actually run each kick 100 times and a fourth. I'll see which one feels nice and then absolutely hammer it for the next 6 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible, Molly. Like, who is the chief slagger in Next Generation in Liverpool? Like, who would you say is the main person doling out the abuse?
The biggest moaner I've ever met in my life is probably Paddy Pimblett. Yeah, he's a moaner, or I don't know. Yeah, it's definitely him. I'm more fishy. Fishy's really positive, but between Paddy moaning about Fishy or Fishy moaning about Paddy, that's probably, yeah.
They're all it's such like good characters, all, though.
Yeah, it's just, if you'd imagine they've all been coming up together for about 12 years, 10 years, I'm only 7 with them. So they love and hatred run strong. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, man. Main sparring partners for so many years, I'd say. Crazy.
Yeah. Because
I can remember they were trying to flip the belts. Remember, like, when they were, Paddy was featherweight champion of Cage Warriors, Chris Fishgall was lightweight, and then they were like, oh, maybe I'll get the featherweight one and you go for the lightweight one now. That's how insanely close they were. It was crazy.
Yeah, and do you know why that was? It was who could make 66 and who couldn't. And Paddy can cut better in the buff than anyone I've seen on this earth. So Paddy had to make the 66 cut, which nearly killed him, like, a few times. So I think 70 suit Paddy better, and I think 66 actually suit Fishy better, to be honest.
Yeah, that's right, because Chris is, oh, look at that. Be careful with those things, Molly. Jesus. Oh,
Frank's even coming for them.
We just went red. We thought you were dead for a second, Molly.
It was the dog lit.
Look at that. Oh, we have to do it. Casey, mixed martial arts, future.
Oh, yeah. We got to
topic.
We got 6 more months of quarantine. We got lots of days to film.
Oh, my good gosh.
He's so beautiful, isn't he? And Liverpool's the best place in the world. It really is. It's an incredible city. I can't get over. I've only been it like once, and I just couldn't get over how good it was. But you can actually understand where all these cool cats come from. When you're there, you're like, oh, everybody's like this. You know what I mean? It's insane.
Yeah, but it's just like Ireland, probably because, like, I'd say 60% of our population and, like, grandparents are all Irish. Just because it's, like, 20 minutes on the plane, isn't it?
Mm. I can remember I was there by myself, obviously, covering the fights, and I went into a pub. I was waiting for my plane to take off. Went into a pub. About 6 lads around me within 10 minutes of being there, just talking away. I ended up playing darts with them for a while and all. It was brilliant. Then they called one of their friends to bring me to the airport. It was a taxi man. Like, you didn't want to charge me, right? It was unbelievable. Oh. It was one of the best experiences I ever had. It was great.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Next time you come over. Hopefully, like, a Bellator comes to Liverpool, because I heard they wanted to. So I'll go on the ale with you after, lad.
Oh, that sounds good. That, we have to get a documentary of that. Me and... Oh, look at Fezzik, no. Casey's dog.
Oh.
Casey and Esther. He's
beautiful. What breed is that?
What breed is he, Casey?
Huh? She's a mutt. She's everything. She's hitting the keys. All right.
She is the director now.
See? That's a great camera's right there.
Ugh. It's gone mad with all these dogs.
I know. It's like baby boom, but for fair babies.
It's so funny. All the dogs are having the best time in the world during this quarantine. Never mind the people. The dogs are out all the time. You see them. This is the greatest thing that's ever happened to dogs.
Yeah, when I walk Frank at 7 o'clock every night and everyone's just using their dog as an excuse, like people who've never walked their dog before. And I'm like, rats.
Like me? Are you getting angry with people as they walk towards you? I was just talking about this last week on the A-side. I was like, if people aren't showing me a bit of space on the path, I start making faces at them and shit. I'm like this. You know, don't really say anything. I'm just like, that kind of stuff, you know?
No, I just, not. It's normally I'm running, so I just run around them. And I'm like, I have my big headphones in. And I'm like rapping as I'm going around the park. And people are probably looking at me like, what's that? What is that? And I'm like, do you know, like, and then I look at the watch and I'm like, oh, I'm on a 7-minute mile. Come on. And then get more into it. I'm so oblivious.
We better get some of these questions going, actually. I keep on asking Polly. I keep on taking her off.
Man, if it wouldn't be the A-side if we didn't get on a tangent after the first question. That's the theme of the A-side.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Hello, Stephen S. Hello, adopt the dog, Jose. You will not regret. Yes, I know. I'm going to get a dog. I just, eventually, it's going
to
happen.
It needs to be the right one. Don't rush into it. Don't be pushed into it, mate.
I'm going to get an English bulldog. I had one before and I loved it.
He was beautiful. Fenway, he was beautiful.
He was a beautiful dog.
Oh, was he? What a name as well.
Oh, so we got a question. Was that a rescue dog? I have. Yes, she was a rescue dog. And we got her, she's 13 years old, and we got her about 12 and a half years ago. And as soon as the handler picked her up, she pooped on him. We want her.
It was a sign.
That's the one.
She's like, picking up, just pooped on. I was like, oh, yeah.
Frank, don't snore a lot.
All right, here we go. One more question. We got more questions, but here we go. Fighting
question. From Kate. K Doc MMA question for Molly: If you were left handed or southpaw but right footed or vice versa, would she recommend fighting in your hand dominant stance or your feet dominant stance for MMA?
So I am left handed and I fight orthodox, because when I started fighting, girls wasn't allowed in the gym, and when I went in the gym, no one said, "Oh, which hand are you right with?" So just copied everyone else. But if you notice in fights, for large proportions of the fight, I'll always switch southpaw. I think in boxing, I would fight. I wouldn't switch if I was a boxer, because it's just easier to get caught and you've got to be a lot sharper. But I think in MMA, it's a lot more easier to switch and not get caught because people aren't as sharp. So if you can do both and switch, then I'd do both. If not, if you was a grappler, I'd go with whichever leg you led with. If you was more of a striker, whichever hand you don't write with should lead.
There you are. K-Doc, huh? That was a precision answer right there.
That was one of the more interesting questions. Casey, what are you? Are you southpaw or orthodox?
Orthodox, but I do everything. But I got I'm equal amount of time southpaw. So
sure.
Drain both sides.
Do you know what, Casey? Yes. I believe that you should do the last round on the bag or the last round on the pad southpaw, or you should always switch because you never want to be caught off guard, you know what I mean? And if plan A isn't working, go to plan B.
Yeah, like in my quarantine, like I have a bag in my garage and shadow box, I split rounds. Yeah, so
Nice, mate.
PC, what are you? Southpaw Orthodox. I know you're just a leg lock master.
We stand square and just go like this. And if you walk towards me or get into me, you're fucking gonna have it.
Salt lock.
Yeah. That was given to me. Ali's fight.
And Bellator. In a Bellator, the Bellator Dublin card, a fan, because we talk about crystals on this show quite a bit.
Yay.
A fan snuck that salt lamp into the fights just to give to Pizzi, sitting in media row. And halfway through, he always turns it on.
That's brilliant. Mine are getting cleansed at the minute.
Good.
Really? Did you hear that, Pizzi?
Yeah.
Her crystals are getting cleansed. I know, but do you remember when we started the Crystal Key? Well, when Jessica, the Crystal Queen, started Crystal Keys to Victory, Molly was one of the first who was like, oh, I want to be featured on that shit. Get me in there straight away.
Not even featured. Like, what one shall I take? Because every fight, it's funny, when I won my first fight in the UFC, in the bucket, I had crystals, St. Christopher, Ganesh, and what else did I have?
Wow.
I had like one other, something from another religion. I can't remember what it was. But I've always like being spiritual and into crystals. But then she was like, you need this one, this one, this one. And then my best mate got me the crystals. We charged them. And then fight never happened, actually, in the last one. But I've still got them.
Yeah, she was one of, you were one of the early members of Team Crystal on Twitter. I know Brian Kelleher was one of the first ones. And when he fought in January, Molly, he messaged us, he asked for a crystal after he did the official weigh-ins. And we gave him Tiger's Eye, which is supposed to grant like monetary good fortune and wealth.
It's supposed to grant it, absolutely guaranteed.
That's what I'm getting to. This is what, because Jessica mailed me and Pizzi crystals. And she gave us a breakdown of what each one does. And one of them was Tiger's Eye. And we gave it to Brian. And then about maybe 5 hours later, this is when the Claudia Gadelha and Alex Grasso fight fell out. He got bumped from the fight pass cards to the main card of a Conor McGregor fight and then won the performance bonus. So we got 50. So I don't want to say it was the crystals, but it was 100% the crystals that got there.
Absolutely. Where are the crystals?
I was at one of the Bellator events and I was with like Benson Henderson quite a lot that week. And before he walked out, I like prayed to this crystal and went over to him and gave it to him. And I was like, this is going to keep you safe and you're going to win. And then he did and he smashed it and he was like, thanks, meatball.
Wow.
I was like,
Benson is without a doubt one of the five nicest people I've met in the mixed martial arts game. I don't know anyone that has a bad thing to say about that man.
He just takes books with him everywhere.
Yeah.
I've seen him at like five different fight cards. I'm like, are you reading again? He's like, are you talking again? I'm just joking.
He was reading at the media day, which I never saw anyone do. Like, he's just sitting there with a book in front of him. Then you go, oh, sorry, can I? Excuse me. But it's just, I've never seen anyone do that before.
I know. I think he was eating an apple as well when I seen him, and that's like my worst thing. Like, when they go,
Oh, yeah.
I hate it. Fight week, no one's allowed to eat apples, chew chewing gum, or like, play with ice around me. I fucking hate it.
So are you one of the more like temperamental? I can't imagine you being the most temperamental fighter, though, even on fight week. I know everyone's right elevated, like the stress levels are way higher, but I mean, in terms of the people you've been around, you can't be the worst. No way.
No, I'm probably the best person you'll have ever met on a fight week, apart from don't eat around me, don't have a cold drink around me, like the day I'm cutting weight. And we're cool.
That's it.
Only just because I respect other people when they're cutting weight. I wouldn't drink in front of them. I wouldn't eat. I'd like, hey, Jess. I just do it on my own. Like, do you know, like, when Liam McCaws was making weight for the Bellator, and we had to, like, cut her fucking hair extensions out.
That was mad. That was mad.
Did not drink round her. Didn't eat round her. It's always good for me for making weight, actually coming to a Leah fight week.
And what's the worst meltdown you've ever had? Have you ever gone absolutely septic on someone on fight week, like where you're just like, okay, that was a bit uncalled for?
Yeah. yeah. In Greenville, in South Carolina, I was at the UFC gym, and I was cutting weight, and well, I say cutting weight, I was hitting pads just to get the last 2 pounds off, and I got in a ice bath. Someone recorded it and put it online, and some woman went, "Is that hot?" And I went, "Are you fucking messing?" I went, "Of course it's not." Well, she kicked off on me, and then she rang me, and then I was having murders with her over the phone.
Jesus.
An ex-female boxer, it's her mum. And then the other day I went into the petrol station and I seen her in the petrol station. She's waiting behind the thing. And I went, "Are we going to bury the hatchet or are we going to have murders here?" And she was like, "No, I just didn't understand." And I was just like, "Oh."
Lucky this COVID thing's gone around or she would have got the treatment. What, Molly?
I know. Now I felt like I was crying after it. When Paul Rimrath came in my room, I was like, "It's all right, it's all right." I was like, "No, because I've been rude to her." And now she's going to, because she said to me, "Know what she said? You've changed."
Oh, that's a horrible thing to say.
I went, "I've just fucking rang you to apologise. and you won't accept it."
That's amazing.
I'm supposed to be fucking cutting weight. And then I was just sat there on my jewel like this. On fight week, I have like a smoky pen. I have one of them on fight week because I'll end up punching someone's head in a while.
Oh, that was an amazing story. Let's get more questions here. This can only lead to more madness.
Thank you for the question, K-Doc. That was actually a fascinating question.
Amazing. I love the sidebars we're going off with Molly here. Stories are unbelievable.
From Gabriel Sajad on the YouTube comments. Sorry if I mispronounced your name. Molly, yeah. Do you prefer your meatballs fried or sautéed, and what sauce is your favorite?
Ooh.
Do you know, I hate meatballs.
What?
Wow.
Oh, revelations.
I do like Swedish meatballs. I like Swedish meatballs, though.
The IKEA ones? In
Swedish meatballs. I don't like ones with a tomato base. Not into it. Just, I worked at Subway, right? And when I'd be hungover, because I'd just go and get on the ale all night and then come in, no sleep like this, cutting everyone's bread. And I remember just that smell of, oh, where you cut the bread, it's called head of the line. And next to the bread is the fucking Cambros with the meatballs in. And, oh, mate, I just couldn't handle that smell. That's like when you walk into Subway and you're like, whoa, it's meatballs. Just imagine that on a hangover.
Oh, and no.
Say I did 3 shifts a week for like 4 years, I'd say 2 of them I was hungover in every week.
Yeah, we're going back for so has it ever got you back in there? Like, have you ever been walking by a Subway and say, "Do you know what? I need to bury the hatchet with Subway. Give me a goddamn meatball marinara."
Nah. I got like, I'll go in all the time and see me old mates who work in there still. And you know, when I won my first fight and in the UFC, and this, I was like this. Yeah. I walked past and there was painters painting it, and I went, "Oh, I'll paint it." And I spent about half an hour painting the wall. I was like, "I'll never forget where I'm from."
Yeah. Amazing.
What a revelation. Meatball Molly hates meatballs.
Amazing.
I only got called it because of smells of them in the gym.
Really?
Like, if I'd finish work at 5 or 4, I'd go straight to the gym and then just smell of like fucking Subway.
Wait, so yeah, imagine how many fighters you were upsetting that were trying to cut weight and you coming in smelling like meatballs.
How about me trying to make weight fucking working in Subway? Honestly, right, if the cookies were broke, Pete, if they was broke, they had to be put in the bin and wasted off. So I'd like make them. I was like, oh shit, this is breaking this one. And then I'd chew it and then spit it out because I couldn't swallow it for the calories, but it just needed the taste.
Oh, God. This is incredible. The revelations we're having here. We could write a book off the information we've had in the first 30 minutes of this.
So, do you know what? Subway would probably fucking take me to court. Stealing this, doing that.
They should sponsor you.
I had about 5 fights in there. I had about 5 fights in Subway. Because I used to work the night shifts because it was 24 hours. I can't tell you the shit that I see in that Subway.
Imagine, yeah, 24 hours a day in Liverpool. That would be mental.
Could you imagine a Dublin?
Yeah. They don't have a 24-hour one here for a reason, Molly.
Listen, we have security guards on.
Yeah,
we'd get off at 5 in the morning and then the shift was 11-7. For 2 hours, it'd just be me and another girl. In them 2 hours, I'd be like, do you know the thing that you put the sandwich on, the tray that you put it in the oven with? Be fucking swinging that at people. Get out the shop! Who are you talking to? They'd be like, just make a fucking sandwich. I'm like, who the fuck are you talking to?
Did you ever proper level someone in there, like on a night, after a night on the sauce? Obviously, they come in bits.
Oh, yeah. I just remember some lad. This is actually a really good story, this.
Oh, tell us. Please tell us.
This blonde girl's come in 5 in the morning, rotten drunk, stumbling over, and then this lad followed her in. And I'm not sure where in Africa, but he was African. And he's come in, and he's like put his arm round her. And I went to him, hey, mate, what's her name? And he went, what? I went, what's her name? Because I just didn't think he knew her. I was just something in my belly. Was like, nah, this is not enough. And he's like, fucking shut up, love. Could you imagine my face?
Oh, my God.
So then she's opened a purse. I'm like, and he's trying to get the money off the purse. And I went, hey, mate, what the fuck? And he went, I'm the police. Who are you talking to? I said, you're not the fucking police. Anyway, he's on the phone. Loads of cars have come full of more of his mates. And he's tried to drag the girl out of the Subway. I've gone out to him.
Shit.
I've gone out to him. I had a fight with him, right? So Subway's just glass mirror. It's just glass window, sorry. I've had a fight with him. Like, he's gone to kick me in the head. I've leg kicked him. The police have come and took him. I've had to go and make a statement. It only turns out that he was a sex trafficker and he was trying to take her, and they'd watched the cameras and he had date raped her. He put date rape in her drink to take her, to steal her, and she would have never been seen again. And oh, I was like this, all in a day's work, guys.
You're a legend, Molly. That is incredible. That is incredible, Molly. Wow. Boop, 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 boop. You're a savage. Yeah. You are a savage. Oh my God.
I can be mouth. I can be a big mouth. But like, if there's injustice, I'm just not into it. And I could just see something weird. I don't know. So.
That is an incredible story. Oh my God.
That is going in the A-side live chat Hall of Fame, up there with Michael Chiesa's Yeti stories, Brian Kelleher's Crystal stories. This is going in the Hall of Fame right here.
Yeah.
Wow.
And did that girl ever get onto you after that, Molly? Did that girl ever get in touch with you after that?
No. So the police tried to make her stay, and she just got off because she was like, no, I think it just freaked her out. But when I went to the station to make a statement, the man who took my statement was a jiu-jitsu practitioner from the gym. And I was just like, look, I'm not really into this kind of thing, like, you know, giving statements and that. Especially in Liverpool, we're not kind of into grassing. But he was just like, look, he's in the cell. We've just drug tested him. He's full of this, 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 and this. He's actually known for this. He's a legal immigrant. Blah, 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 blah. And then I think he just got sent home. Because I was asked to go to court, and then the case got cancelled because he got sent home.
That is wild. That is so wild. That girl should get in touch with you and thank you. That is crazy.
I was, do you know what? I was 22. So that's quite young to be like standing up to a man of a big stature and then cars outside full. But my mum always said, never back down, Mal, you go down swinging, girl. I was like, all right.
That I would love to just see you beating the shit out of that guy. I'd pay good money for that.
Oh my God. Listen, I forgot to tell you. I haven't got it, but that it's actually, I can find it. It went round BBM because back in the day it was BBM. And in our Subway chat, it was there. It was like, how funny is this? Molly Legg and some big lad. How good is that? Yeah.
Oh my gosh, we got to find that footage.
How is there not a Meatball Molly McCann documentary yet? This is incredible. This is crazy.
Me and Jim Edmonds are going to write me life story. Like, the world doesn't even know the half of it. Like, not even three quarters of it.
That's crazy, man. That is so crazy.
My God. Well,
speak after that. I'm stuck.
Seriously.
I feel like we're in Jamaica every time that goes off.
Keep dropping these fire stories on us, Molly. We have to do something.
That tangent came from a fan asking what her favorite meatball was. Like, that's how that came from.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Hey, I've got all night.
From Nick Barry on Twitter, what non-fighting related things has she been doing to pass the time in quarantine? What was her strangest idea for hanging the heavy bag before she got the stand? Also, big shout out to the super photogenic Frank.
Can you see Frank?
There you
go. Can you hear him snoring?
He's just living his best life.
Frank!
I wonder what that noise was in the back. It was.
He doesn't mess around, man.
No, I took him for a big like walk today.
You know, I was about to DM you guys because I thought someone was rubbing up on their mic. I was like, hey, someone's in their mic, but then I realized it's Frank snoring.
I thought someone's stomach was rumbling. It was just Frank snoring in the background.
Molly says to me before I come on, it's like, you better get Frank. Everyone wants to see him. She goes, you're not when you hear him snoring, you're not.
You know what? I'm going to put my quills over his, not over his head like animal abuse, but see if it just quiet muffles the sound.
Don't worry about it. He's a legend. He can do what he wants. Yeah. You and Frank can do whatever the hell you want.
We've got the key to the city.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Oh my God.
On me bike.
I'm distracted again from another question. Sorry, Jose. What was the question?
What's she been doing to pass the time in quarantine?
Oh, that isn't fight related. All right.
Yeah, non-fight related.
Every day I walk the dog with my neighbour and her kid, not together, social distancing, obviously. I've got to know every neighbour in our street. So probably just more like community-related stuff, to be honest. Every day I try to do three things, one good for me, one good for the community, and one good for my career. And community, that could just, not community, community, like me road, the family, you know what I mean? Yeah, that's it really. And regards to my bag, I got given a bag and I thought, how am I going to put this up? Because I'm from a terraced estate, so terraced houses in England are just houses next to each other and there's no wall really to put the bag on. So I just saw all of the bricks, a tin of paint and a rope and a pole, so I just tied it up and I was like, oh my God, it works. And then someone seen it and was like, you're not a UFC fighter. You're a UFC fighter. You are not training on that. You'll kick it and fucking break your leg. So then my cousin got someone to bring a scaffold down and I've got a spa bar, which is that thing McGregor's got, which he put on his Insta the other day. I've got like ground and pound bag, kettlebells, Bulgarian bag, a TRX thing.
Wow. You got a full gym like, now.
Yeah, I know. And wow, it's all just from people giving it to me.
Well, it's you sending out good vibes and you're getting them back, Molly. Mm. That's what that's all about right there.
Yeah. 100%.
You've also been going on to UFC 3 online and beating the piss out of people, haven't you?
I've not beat one person.
Oh, no.
I don't know how to play the game. I'm calling all these little students out who, like, all they do is fucking play UFC 3 and wank every day. Do you know what I mean? And there's me like, yeah, let's have it. And then just got fucking wiped the floor with every single time.
I thought you were like elite at the game because you were talking so much shit on social media.
Yeah, I thought how hard can it be?
Do you tell them who you are? Are you like, I'm actually a UFC fighter, or do you just go in anonymous?
So I give my name, so I'm Meatball Molly UFC. And then they add me, so they know who they're playing. And then they put on Twitter, she's fucking beat her. But some of the people take like the grappling off, and it's like, no, we're doing MMA, like, I'm gonna take you down, because they haven't got a clue what's going on the floor. Do you know what I mean? So I thought, I'll smash these kids on the floor, but then they turn it up, so you can't do that.
Hang on a second. You can beat the shit out of all of these people. Does it genuinely upset you that you can't beat them in the game?
No, because all it just is... I couldn't give a fuck. But do you know what I think? Imagine if my hero, when I was a kid, asked me if I wanted to play the PlayStation.
Savage, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Or like, or took 15 minutes out of their life to give it towards me. I'd like be next level. So I just thought, if I can do that for someone else... At this time, do you know what I mean? Like, you're going to have parents who's, like, losing the will to live because the kids are just being little rats because they're bored. If I could just, like, help a mum out for... It's not even 5 minutes, lads. It's like 90 seconds and they've knocked me out. But, I don't know, I'll try and do my bit the best that I can, do you know what I mean?
That's really cool of you, Molly.
Thanks. He's mate. I'm trying to just rub his belly.
From Thomas Beckett in the YouTube comments. Hey Molly, met you at the UFC gym Nottingham. Thank you for taking your time in talking to my friend and I. In your opinion, what can combat sports do to help encourage female members to join and stay?
So I think, as in a martial arts, as a female, is probably one of the hardest things in the world to do, because it's just seen as just a man's thing. And I only did it because I was told I wasn't allowed to. Do you know what I mean? So I was just like, you're not going to tell me, no. But now it's at an age where everything is a lot more easier than a lot more equal. Do you know what I mean? And I think you only need... I really remember saying this to these lads. Frank, shut up. After this game. You've only got to get your foot through the door. And then it'll change your life forever. And it's just about a lot of growth. Oh, this dog. It's about growth. And the growth only comes from not being in your comfort zone. And the whole time you're going to be doing MMA, you're not going to be in your comfort zone. But it's nice and it is... I don't know. It'll change the life for the better, is kind of what I've said to them.
Do you see a big influx in female members now at Next Gen, Molly, like since you've been there?
Yeah, I noticed the first fight that I had that was big time for Next Gen was on Cage Warriors when Paddy fought Madnir Amani, and I put on the fight of my life.
That was an amazing fight.
I'd lost my cousin in a car accident. He was like one of my best mates. He was only 26. And then the funeral was the night of the weigh-in, and I couldn't go to the funeral. So it was like the whole family was just behind me for this fight. Do you know what I mean? And it was so much pressure, and there was like 7,000 people there, and it was just the scariest thing. And my opponent was like 22-5, and I was literally like 4-1, and I just thought, fuck this, let's go for it. And I went for it, and Liverpool didn't know who I was before that fight, but after it they fucking did, and everyone everyone's little girl started coming and doing Paddy's class, and his class was, and still is, about 50-50 split, because Paddy and little Fran Breen teach the kids' class. And yeah, I've noticed it's a lot more. I think I'm really personable to any female who's coming up.
Mm.
I think that helps a lot, because there's a lot of female athletes, but they're not, or female fighters, but I don't see them trying to do much with anyone else other than themselves. But then see someone like me and Thea, and we are like, she'll even do women's only classes and that, you know what I mean? And at our gym, we've got our women's team now in jiu-jitsu, and we've got a good like MMA team now. There's about five of us, so all good.
Let's get another question here.
All right.
Thank you, Thomas.
Frank.
Oops. Where'd the background go?
Uh-oh.
Oh, I think the background.
Asha.
Ah.
Oh, it's getting mysterious. Play the entrance music again.
Give me the horns. Lads, I was supposed to fly to Jamaica 2 days after UFC London.
Well, hang on. Paddy was telling me about this. He said you would book the holiday, then try to book another holiday really quickly. And then was that what happened? He said you were going to Mexico and then to...
I was going to Jamaica. And then on the Sunday when the fight got cancelled, me and Paige went and changed the holiday to Mexico to go earlier. And then all flights got banned and cancelled, so... I'm still waiting for money for that back as well. I was like, for fuck's sake, Tui. Because me and Paige was just like, fuck it, we'll just quarantine in Mexico.
Well, wasn't Alimale McFarland had to postpone her wedding in Jamaica because of this whole, like, she was, her and her fiance were going to fly to Jamaica and get married. But then when they flew to San Diego for the connecting flight, everything hit the fan. So they just halted.
You're a proper son, baby, aren't you, Molly?
What?
You're mad for the sun, aren't you?
No, Paige is, my girlfriend is. I can't fucking stand it. Every holiday we go on has to be a hot one, right? And she's like, her nan's Indian, so she gets a really good tan. And then I'm just this, I'm this lobster, look at me. The lobster.
I think that's good. I would be so happy with that colour, man. If I could get that colour, I'd be like, this is the shit.
I'm red though.
That's as good as it gets for me. That is as good as it gets for me, Molly.
Hey, it's making me teeth look like Darren's now.
Darren's
too. Nice white
teeth. Oh, amazing.
Oh my God.
Oh, that's so good.
Oh my God.
Listen, Nick Pete and Adam Casserole and Dan Hardy have rang me about three times.
The Fight Disciples. The Great Fight Disciples, yes.
Yeah, and they're going like BT. And I haven't realised, right, because it's just like off the cuff, and every time I've had a pink gin. So I've been like drunk. So imagine me on this now with a pink gin. Oh my God.
Next time.
100% next time.
I'll get a few cans in.
Yeah.
A few more.
Yeah. Oh my God.
All right, another question from our lovely, from Barry Oglesby. Question for Pete: could you surgically alter a man so that his knees bend to the opposite direction, and what would the implications be for humanity? So I guess this is for Pete for whatever reason.
Barry Oglesby is an Irish black belt and he's doing this to fuck with me. Could you surgically alter a man so his knees bend? Oh, we talked about this earlier. Would that not make you insane at jiu-jitsu if you could bend your knees the other way while in the guard position? Would that not open up several thousand different kinds of submissions?
It would probably just create an entirely new form of jiu-jitsu.
Exactly. So that's what I'd do, Barry. You know that. This is some type of inside joke on the Irish jiu-jitsu scene. I'm sure of it, because he's just replying to everything on Twitter with this same question. Someone's got, Barry, I know you're up to something, you evil genius.
Barry, weirdo.
Eat that Oglesby. Lit up by McCann. Have that. Hey,
where's me horns now?
Molly, do you know how flexible pizza is?
Oh, you're not a freak and get your feet behind your desk, are you?
Yeah, he's an absolute freak. Yeah, do it. Yeah, she's a new guest, so you gotta do it.
Oh my god.
I mean, we know each other for so long and you don't notice about me.
For those of you just listening, Pizza just put his foot behind his head again. It's kind of become a trend for new guests. Everyone gets to watch Pizza do that. He did that in the middle of media day in January. He comes up to me, Molly, and goes, did you know I'm the most flexible person in this entire room? In the middle of media day, and then lays on the floor and does that.
Do you know what the most embarrassing thing is? Every time I've done on this show, I've been wearing the same runners. Everyone's going to think I'm poor. Oh, my God.
I'm next to me on a shelf.
Yeah, you've got an insane. Ooh. You've got some insane shoes. Remember them ones you were wearing in Dublin? The Reacts, were they? They were beautiful.
These ones.
Yes, they are beautiful. Oh nice. Yes. He's so stylish. Hey,
it's hard to get a shoe that's as little as my feet. I'm size 4, which is like a 5 in America.
But does that not mean you can buy the kid sizes and get them all cheaper, no?
Yeah, but you know when you used to play football and you'd get a real pair of Preds or like a fake pair of Preds? It's that same thing. They're just not the same.
I never had a real pair. I always had the fakies.
I mean, they weren't fake, but they'd like... The studs weren't there.
The studs were shy. They were the best versions.
My God, this dog's here. Frank, you're getting it, you little knob. Hang on.
So beautiful. Look at him there. Look at him there.
So photogenic.
The attitude, man. I love he has this attitude he exudes where he's like, what the fuck do you want?
It's called rest them bitch face. That's what it's called.
He's deadly, man. He's such a dog.
Casey, you have to prioritize praying for another mixed martial arts.
No, for sure, yeah.
Hi. Say hi to the boys.
Casey has made documentaries about fighters' dogs, Molly, like short films. He needs to get one about Frank, right?
Yeah.
I asked Vicky at UFC, at the UFC, if I could bring him to London, and she said no. She went, it depends. No, because she wanted to, but she said, oh, look at him. Lying on me now. She said it just depends which hotels we stay at. Oh, babe.
Brad Pickett used to sneak his dog into all of them, remember?
Yeah.
He used to sneak his little I don't know, it was a Bichon Frise or something, but you have it everywhere. But he used to just keep it in a bag and take it out, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Rob Font has two on a leash that he would bring to media day.
Wow.
Yeah, in America. Then,
Yeah, it's allowed
in the hotels.
Yeah, and it's then Vitor Belfort would like walk around like a German Shepherd for a while.
Yeah, because that was like a thingy dog, the same as Rosenama Eunice's. What is it like a
service dog? Yeah,
you got to get Frank to be a service dog.
Vitor Belfort. I was like,
this is
dog.
My anxiety dog. What are you talking about? This way.
We are so far behind, though, aren't we, in terms of dog-friendly places? When you go to those other places, like, so far behind, aren't we?
Like, he's allowed in everywhere in Liverpool.
Same as Reggie and Blanche, of course, but, I mean, everywhere else.
Yeah.
I think every other country's better, like.
Well, thanks for the very random question, Barry.
Barry got told by Molly. I'm delighted with that.
Yeah.
From Jones Eats Cormier on the site, he's asked this question multiple times, and I think this is the first time he's ever made it to the site. If you were in a tandem bike endurance race across the United States, who would you pick to be your partner if you had to be in the front? Would it change if you had to be in the back? So, interesting question. PC, Molly, Casey, thoughts on sharing a tandem bicycle across the United States with an MMA fighter?
Right, so you're going to have to think of the smallest fighter when you're cycling, right? If they're on the back and I'm cycling, I want the smallest fighter possible. So what was that Brazilian girl? She was 4'11". Viviana Pereira, was it?
Oh, my God. I fought in Brazil on the same fight card as her.
No way.
Michael. What was that lad's name? Michael Fingy, and he does the backflips.
Pereira.
Oh, Michael Pereira.
Michelle Pereira, yeah.
And the girl who I fought, Vanessa Mello, us four are all in the UFC at the same time. And we're all on the same fight cards in Sao Paulo.
She's really short though, right? She's like 4'11".
Listen, she was like, I just looked at her and I was like, I wouldn't fight you. I was just thinking, you are straight off the counter, you. Do you know what I mean? Do you know what I mean though?
All right. It's like a big shout, was she? Yeah, I'll go small one, right? If I'm cycling, but if it's a big person, I need a heavyweight. I need Brock Lesnar cycling.
You gotta get Nate Diaz.
You gotta go Nate.
Oh, yeah, he does triathlons and everything. You gotta do like someone that does stuff like that.
I just pick Max Holloway because he just goes forever, and he'd like make you laugh and say some mad shit, and then his son will probably come for a bit, and I'd be like, hey. <'Cause he's
cool. laughs> That's a bad
Masvidal show. Says he does. He's done triathlons too. I feel like sharing a tandem bike with Jorge Masvidal across the United States would be kind of fun.
But his hair would just keep blowing in your face. You'd be like,
he'll have a helmet on.
He just gotta wear a helmet, Petey.
That's a good point.
We just end up having murders, having a fight with someone.
But that's what we want to do, Molly. That sounds like the best fun. I mean, you're fighting crime. It's not like you're just bursting people on the street here, for God's sake.
No. That didn't sound a bad thing, lad. Jesus.
You're like a superhero.
Yeah, it's my thing, isn't it? Battling crime one day at a time.
It's amazing.
Well, thank you for the question, Jones Eats Cormier. I'm glad we finally got your question up. What does this one say? From LATB MMA. What male fighter do you think has the most similar style as your own? Or whose do you aspire to emulate? Huge fan. Love you, Molly.
I don't know if I'm really quite like Bisbane, to be honest. I just think my style is just have a fight. You know, a good old fist fight. I'm going to try and punch your head in and make you quit and take you down just to like embarrass you that someone from England took you down. Do you know what I mean?
I think you're quite like Bisping though, like in the way that you set a pace that at the end of like second round, you see your opponent going, holy shit, is this girl going to keep going? And that's what he always did, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And we're both from the Northwest, so it's probably... It's all a little bit similar here. And I think, I don't know, I'm 30 nearly. So I'm from a similar era of training where it was just like, right, you run as long as you can run and then you hit as hard and then you don't take a step back. And I don't know, he's got bollocks, hasn't he, in a fight. He'll take a good dig and I think I can take a good dig as well. I'm yet to be put on my arse, so...
Yeah, I can remember when Sean Al-Shadi wrote that long form about Bisping. Every single one of his opponents was like, it's just a nightmare to fight him. They're just like, it's just, you can't believe that he's still coming. Like, you know, you just can't believe, like, how is he still doing this? And I think that's the way you are as well, right? Like, you always say that to me before you fight. You're like, I'm telling you, at the end of the second round, they're not going to want to be in there anymore. And you always said that mental piece.
Yeah, and because I know as well I don't cut much weight, I know that I'm not done in and I reload correctly. So I know my muscles are ready to go and I know I don't cheat the grind. So I know how many miles I've run in a fight camp and I know for a fact that they haven't because I don't know very many MMA fighters who run much. Do you know what I mean? So it's just, I don't know, I'm easy and I can relax in a fight because I'm just like, I'm not even out of breath and you are puffed. You're puffed on that chair and I'm standing there screaming in your face, get up! You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's my idea.
But I think that's my style as well, is like, is not trash talk, but Frank, Oh, sorry, guys. he's just pulled the screen. Yeah, I like to, like, I've always, since I was, like, 15 in a fight, at weighing, putting people's faces, tried to chat, like, shit to make them fume. And then just so it, like, gives the fight a bit more the next day. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's a little bit more venom, there's a little bit more spice. I'm going to get the best version of them. And then I'm going to beat them and be like that.
Well, I wrote this down when we were in Boston, Pete, and I told you this stat backstage, Molly. I don't know if it's changed since then, but Molly is one of two female fighters in the UFC to have three straight three-round fights with over 100 significant strikes landed in each fight. So I believe it's her and Angela Hill, and I know Ioana and Stachik has had a bunch of five-round fights, but as of October, it was just Molly and Angela.
Wow.
Yeah, and I think that just comes from the boxing, I think. Yeah, it was the third fight on the bounce, actually, wasn't it? Three fights, 100 plus. Yeah, I just think I stopped trying to wing shots and I started being a bit more accurate and trying to have faster shots and weigh them down a bit, because there's higher stakes, isn't he? But it proved that I've got the engine. And I remember me saying to you, have you got any more? And then someone made a funny meme of that, like, what was it? It's like a COVID-19 meme. It's like when you ask for toilet roll in the Walmart. Have you got any more?
Here, Molly, what's the most messed up thing you ever said to someone at the weigh-in? Do you know what you just said? You like to get in people's heads a bit, like show them, like, you know, say something messed up. Do you ever say anything mental and you're like, all right?
No, it's nothing ever personal. It's just like the last one that I said to Diane Bablita was like, are you sure you're ready for this level?
Oh.
You're not ready for my level. Because it was her debut and I was just like, you're actually not meant to be, you know. I'll see you tomorrow night. And then do you know what I actually say? I always say this, and it'll only be like a scouser who'll understand, but I go, I'll fuck you, which just means like I'll knock you out. but to anyone else, they'd probably be like, what?
Oh my god.
Right?
That's terrifying, man. You know you shouldn't be here. Like, what the fuck? She's like, what the fuck? This might be my dream.
And are you at this level? I don't think you are. And I remember the one who was that one in UFC London. I was like, do you hear them? They're here for me. This is my fucking house. You're in my house now. I don't plan it. It just flies out of my mouth like words for me.
You ever, I think it was when Bisping stared down with Vitor Belfort. Vitor Belfort was like yelling, like, this is like, I'm like, God brought me here, this and that. And Michael Bisping goes, yeah, well, Jesus isn't real. And like, that's what he yelled at Vitor Belfort. So that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard someone say.
Man, Bisping's had some crackers. Luke Rockhold, as weak as piss. I rewound that 50 times and just was, I couldn't believe. I'd never heard that in my life. And I just couldn't stop listening to him. Oh my God.
Achieve to like, believe.
Believe. Achieve. All that stuff. That was a good one.
Do you know, like, the thing with Bisping is, even some people in the UK never warmed to him that much. But that night that he fought Rockhold and he knocked him out, I can remember about 19 people in my apartment and they all went psycho. It was like he grew up with us. Do you know what I mean? It was like they didn't even know it was inside them. But when he won, it was like they always say, all my mates always say, that was one of the best nights we ever watched fights. The night that Bisping clipped Rockhold. Like, it's just such a legend.
Because it was the thing of like taking him on 19 days or 17 days, weren't it? And it was like, did they do that talk? Do you know where they do like the face off? And he's like, Rockhold kept saying, yeah, but I'd done you in the spa. And then Rockhold was like,
that was before their first fight, I think. Right?
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
I can't remember. I just thought, oh, I love the animosity between them.
Yeah.
I work for Ralph Lauren now. My shit doesn't stink. I don't even need to train. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was such a culture clash, man. It was just two opposites, complete opposites. Like,
it was like the street versus the Hamptons, really.
Yes, that's exactly what it was. Yeah.
That was a rough night for Casey, if I remember correctly.
That night sucked.
Why?
Casey. Huh? Why?
Why?
Go on, Casey. Tell us.
That was the night. That was the night Dana White pulled our credentials and kicked us out of the arena.
So,
yeah.
But that's, you know, that's in the past. Now we're here.
A legendary moment in MMA.
My funny story about when Bisping won. Me, Ariel, and Esther were actually outside the forum in the parking lot, and we hear roar. We hear this like big cheer. You know, from the ring, you can hear it from outside the arena, and we all look at each other, and then we look at our phone, like, "Oh, this being one." And then we go, "Oh, we better get out of here before traffic gets bad." So, like, we ran to our car because we were kind of outside the arena, kind of just talking, like, "Oh, that was, you know, about what just happened with, you know, the UFC, with our situation." But we're like, "Oh man, we don't want to get stuck. We don't want to get stuck in traffic." So it's just. That was my Bisping experience for when he won.
Amazing. Amazing. So we all have great memories of that one.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
All right.
Any more questions?
Huh? I'm sorry?
Who was the co-main on that fight?
Faber-Cruz 3.
Oh, yeah.
We also had Dan Henderson knocked out Lombard. Brian Ortega knocked out Guida. I think Poirier beat Bobby Green on that card. That fight card was unreal. Holloway Lamas when
that,
he
that
pointed
was the famous
around. That fight card was, and then BJ Penn was supposed to be on that card before. I think he used an IV before, so he had to pull out of the fight, so they pulled him from the fight. I think it was supposed to be him and Seaver or something like that, and then eventually they rematched, that fight card was unreal. And we had the Paulo Reyes fight at the very beginning, was like the first fight of the night. And that was the best
opening fight I've ever seen in the UFC.
Yeah. That was the first fight on the entire card and it stole the show.
Yep. All right. One more question. We got where was it? There we go.
From Spot On Pigs, how do you think you would match up with Valentina?
Extremely well. I think it's all about rhythm with her, and if you let her settle or if you're not patient, it's a battle of patience with her. Do you know what I mean? And I think she dictates range really well, and I've not seen one person who fights her have footwork like mine, and where I can switch stance and where fighting southpaws is always a massive thing in boxing, so I've done it since I was 11. I'm not scared of that kind of fight with her, and I'd relish it. When she got pulled out against JoJo, I was like, I'll take the JoJo fight then. And then the winner of that fight, but obviously that was never going to be the case. But I don't know. I think people are now... Do you know when you get like a champion and... Because they've retained it 3 times, people kind of think, oh my God, they're unbeatable. And then you go and watch tape and then you're like, no, I can see flaws, I can see holes there. And there's not many, do you know what I mean? And she's absolute world class and she's leveled up. I literally watched the fight Nunes last night on BT Sports. And she's leveled up so much in the last few years. But I'd be wrong in... to be in this game if I thought I wouldn't win or wouldn't give it a good go. Do you know what I mean? So the day will come. Like, it's a matter of time. Do you know what I mean? Because there's not many more in the top 10 who people really want to see a fight against. And as long as my next fighter get the win, I don't think I'm that far off.
Yeah, I mean, your streak is considerable now, Molly. I mean, there's not a lot of people on that kind of run in the flyweight division, right?
Yeah, I just think like this one against Ashley Evans-Smith was like the nail in the coffin. Do you know what I mean? I think I'm not sure if I would have had one more. Like, I would have loved the Macy Barber fight, but she's injured and I hope she recovers well. And I bet she's buzzing the pandemics here because she's getting all the recovery time whilst no one else can fight. So she's not missing out.
Yeah, that was an that Roxanne Modafferi was amazing that night, man. That was such a huge underdog. It was just incredible.
She was, I think Macy was a -1,000 favorite.
Fuck.
That, which is insane to me. Considering Roxanne was her debut was like in 2003. I think Macy Barber was 2 years old or something like that when Roxanne Modafferi made her MMA debut. I think she has the most fights ever in women's MMA. Like someone told me a stat like that.
Yeah, you know she's the gatekeeper. Like, I think she's the gatekeeper, to be honest. I think, like, someone with striking like Shevchenko, it would just, like, negate anything that Roxy can kind of do. But Roxy's rhythm, you can't really count it, but, like, because she's that unorthodox. That's what makes her so dangerous. And I'd never count her out. I've trained her for in Vegas, and I love it. And I messaged her going, please submit this girl, please.
Jesus, you and Barbara would still be a savage fight, Molly. That would be a
Listen, that's got to happen. But my coach Paul was like, I'd want that fight like on your next contract because you shouldn't be taking that kind of fight on my old contract. Do you know what I mean? I was like, yeah, because it'll be one for the ages. That one, I reckon. It'll be like, what's her name? Shut up. Frank,
Lee,
and Joanna.
Yeah,
sell it so well, man. Because both personalities, people really like the two of you. You know, it's a great fight to make. But give it a full contract first. Nice big contract for Molly first, and then we can start talking about it.
Well, let me win the next fight, and then I'll get a nice new contract. I reckon.
Definitely Ashley? Would you say it's definitely going to happen? The Evan Smith fight. You think they'll stick with that?
Well, I know she got us to fight. On a May card, but she said no because I think she genuinely wants to fight me, and I think she's put a bit of weight on now. So, fuck it, give me the wrestler. Let me wrestle the wrestler. Let me out wrestle the wrestler, just so I can prove to myself, prove to everyone, no one's fucking with me now.
Can we just say that isn't it been amazing that we have gone this whole episode? We haven't talked about this coronavirus. You haven't talked about anything. Just Molly hitting us with those fire stories. Isn't that fantastic? I'm so happy with that, I have to say. I'm brimming. I'm so happy with it.
I haven't spoken about Rona once today.
I'm about to break in the streak. She was going nearly a whole day without talking. And there's me ruining it.
I don't know.
Amazing.
But... Casey, any more questions, or is this the wrap for this episode of the A-Side?
Yeah, I think we can wrap it up.
Well, thank you so much, everyone that joined us. Thank you for joining us on this Wednesday edition, Molly. But of course, as always, as the guest of honor, Molly, the floor is yours to say, plug, talk about whatever you want before we sign off.
I won't plug anything. I'll just say to everyone who's come up with me, thanks for the support. Stay safe. And I promise, and I can pretty much promise the whole UFC roster is going to bring it when the fights are allowed again.
And Jessica, send her some crystals, Jessica. She's officially part of Team Crystal, so she should get some crystals in a breakdown.
Yeah, do you know I've got like this jumper that's got crystals on it? I'm going to send it to Jess, don't worry. It's on my Instagram. It's called Crystal Witch, at Crystal Whoa. Witch. And they do clothing with the crystals in and then what the crystal means. It's got the description. It's I'll send it to you. I'll send you the link because it's fucking sick.
That's unreal.
So but good. This is amazing. This was amazing. Yeah.
This is by far one of the most fascinating episodes of the A-Side I've ever hosted. But for Pete, that's Casey, that was Molly. We'll be back Friday with a special guest. I won't say who it is yet, but I am excited. I know Pete's excited. But until then, we're out.
Peace out, bitches.
Bitches. wait, that one last time.
See you later, lads.
See you, Molly.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.